It's 1,097 days of war in Europe. We'll be live in Kyiv next.
Kyolaris na shunta na heiren, an kyol classicach tradishunta agus coaimshirha is far a chelura the cach. Is latsa an kyol, is latsa an kyolaris na shunta. NCH.ie.
Your dreams don't get smaller just because you get older. Whether it's upgrading your home or returning to education, there may be many things you'd still like to do. If you're a homeowner over 60, a lifetime mortgage secured against your house from Spry Finance could help you to keep enjoying life. Of course, before you make up your mind, we want you to have peace of mind. So talk to us at 01 5822 580 or visit spryfinance.ie, because life never gets old. Over 60s only. Product eligibility criteria apply. Senior Money Mortgages Ireland DAC, trading as Seniors Money, Spry Finance and Spry is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
3 years ago today, in the very early hours of the morning, the people of Ukraine woke up to their neighbour Russia sending its soldiers across its sovereign borders. The full-scale invasion had begun. In the months that followed, hundreds of thousands died, millions left, 4 million moved within Ukraine, nearly 7 million left the country altogether. Towns and cities like Bucha, Irpin, Mariupol, they became bywords for horror as Russian troops and mercenaries raped, tortured and murdered their way through. Vladimir Putin used starvation as a weapon too, leaving people with no food, water, heat and light for weeks on end. Ukraine resisted strongly, but 3 years and 1,097 days of war later, Russia controls around 20% of its territory. And now Putin is being brought in from the cold, rehabilitated by US President Donald Trump, who has begun talks to end the war exclusively with the Russian president, leaving out Ukraine and European leaders. Let's go to the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, now and talk to Siobhan O'Grady, chief Ukraine correspondent with The Washington Post. Siobhan, thanks for joining us. What does the capital look like today compared to this day 3 years ago and the days that followed?
I was here three years ago, and it's still shocking to me how long it's been just hearing you say just how many days it's been. I mean, so much has changed and so much remains the same. Kyiv is still under Ukrainian control. Most of the city remains completely intact because of air defenses and the remarkable bravery of Ukrainian service people who have defended the city for 3 years. We've seen statements, of course, from Donald Trump in recent days saying that so much of the country looks like a demolition zone, and that is just not true. Of course, on the front lines, we see huge damage, and we see that Russia has never taken control of a city without basically flattening it first. But the cities that remain in Ukrainian hands are vibrant and active. This morning, I woke up to my street blocked off in the capital because motorcades were coming by filled with European leaders who are here to meet President Zelensky today. He spoke yesterday at a large press conference marking 3 years of full-scale war, and he said that there would be a huge show of support today in Kyiv, with especially Baltic leaders here for meetings and dozens of others joining online to show their support for Ukraine. So the city remains strong. Life goes on as normal. People are going to work today, heading to school. But of course, on the front line, we know the fight continues in the east.
Well, indeed. And the people in Kyiv and all the other towns and cities across Ukraine, and particularly those still fighting in the east, they all must be completely exhausted by war.
Yes, of course. I mean, everyone's lives have just changed so dramatically. It's hard to even remember who anyone was before February 24th, 2022. And of course, a lot of those soldiers have been fighting without relief. Some of them have only had short breaks, if they're lucky, since the first days of war 3 years ago, because there is this lack of manpower still. And there's no end date when someone signs up to fight. There's no possibility of demobilization at this time because they just don't have enough people to replace them. And so that's become a largest issue in Ukrainian society. As we look at how long the war may drag on, that people on the front line really, really want a break. And we see even at times amputees going back to fight, of course, by their own accord. But others are just desperate for a break and know that if they don't fight, no one else will. And so they don't really have a choice.
And those towns and cities that I mentioned, Bucha, Irpin, Mariupol, so many others as well, that we all became so familiar with in the last 3 years, what has become of them in that time?
Bucha and Irpin have both made remarkable recoveries, in part thanks to huge donations to help rebuild. I mean, the main road in Bucha, where we saw the bodies of civilians scattered throughout who had been executed point blank by Russian troops in 2022, and all of the houses there had been destroyed. They're now rebuilt, and life is going on as normal. Schools are open, restaurants are open. Of course, there are still some reminders. The Ukrainians left the famous bridge that was destroyed in 2022 that separated Irpin from Kyiv, where we watched as thousands of people walked on foot, some holding homemade white flags to signal that they were civilians. I mean, the scenes that I remember witnessing at that bridge have haunted me and stayed with me, of elderly people being carried in bed sheets, children being carried by men who were holding a child on one hip and a gun on the other. I mean, we just saw total devastation there. Families were killed trying to cross that bridge. So that bridge has remained, although another one has been built next to it. But just as a reminder that Kyiv is not far from the front lines of this war, and that Putin's ultimate goal was to seize control of Kyiv. He failed. He thought it would be 3 days. He thought, then he said a week, then a month. And of course, 3 years later, Kyiv still stands. And we see a huge show of solidarity today from Europe, with so many leaders here to bolster Zelensky at a time when Ukraine's most important ally is faltering, and it's not totally clear whether the United States will remain on Zelensky's side. Yesterday, speaking at that press conference in Kyiv, Zelensky spoke for 2 hours. And he said that there would be disbelief at the United States if Trump were to meet Putin before he meets Zelensky. And he said, I'd really like for him to be on our side, and that for Washington to play the role of a mediator is not enough. That was a quote. And it's shocking to even hear those words, because to hear that Ukraine has to say, I'd really like for America to be on our side, I mean, that would have just been unimaginable just even a few weeks ago.
And Siobhan, what about the people in Kyiv and across Ukraine? Are they scared of what might come with these talks between the United States and Russia? Do they want a peace deal? Do they want the war to end, even if
Absolutely.
It means giving up much of their country or not?
I don't think that there is appetite to give up any territory, although I think people are very exhausted. What they want is for the peace to be determined on Ukraine's terms. And that is what Zelensky emphasized yesterday, too, that this isn't a situation where Ukraine needs to be invited to the table. It is Ukraine's table. And that's what he said, that it's Ukraine who should be deciding and at the center of these conversations, not some afterthought when it's Ukraine's land and people whose lives are on the line. Of course, we've seen polling that that there is appetite for the war to end, even if it meant freezing the lines as they stand now. But it's hard to imagine that all of the people, especially the people who have fought on the front lines and are now unable to return home because their hometowns are occupied by Russians, it's really hard to imagine that they would easily agree to any kind of deal that meant that they would never return home. Mm-hmm. And I think what people are most afraid of is any kind of deal being foisted upon Ukraine, especially without security guarantees. And Zelensky really pushed for this yesterday, that although Trump administration officials have said that any NATO invitation remains very unlikely, that Ukraine should not be relying on that kind of idea as a way to end the war, Zelensky insisted yesterday that is still on the table. And he even said that if a NATO invitation came, that he would step down because of all of this discussion in recent days, especially by Russia and by the United States, that he needs to hold elections. And he said that he would be willing to step aside if a NATO invitation came.
Siobhan, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Siobhan O'Grady, Chief Ukraine Correspondent with The Washington Post, live from the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv, on this, the third anniversary of the full-scale invasion of the sovereign country.